From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. We're celebrating this weekend's grand opening of the Weber Center for the Performing Arts. The Arts in La Crosse is much more than a theater production or musician on the stage. It's the painters and sculptors, the writers and the street performers, and there are dozens of other ways creative people drive the arts in this community. A lot of people in La Crosse believe the Weber Center can be a crown jewel of the new arts district in downtown La Crosse. It features a growing number of performance arts venues and galleries with locally produced art. Don Smith is president of the city's arts board and the Pump House Regional Arts Center. La Crosse Arts Board member Michelle Petersley is president of Cheddarheads and owns several businesses on La Crosse's Pearl Street. I asked them what impact they believe the Weber Center will have on the city.
To begin with, I think just the actual physical aspects of the building are going to contribute greatly to the city because it was done in such a nice way, not only in investing to make the building look beautiful, but if you're on the Cass Street Bridge and look down on the riverfront, you'll see it's not just a straight line cutting across the riverfront, it's a curved or biomorphic line, and I think that design element is going to really impact the whole visual aspect of our riverfront. And since our downtown is currently going through a revitalization from the riverfront back, I think it's key to have had that investment placed there in such a good way.
And Don, when you first heard that they were going to be putting in this new performing arts center, what was your thought when you started thinking about what this could mean for the future of arts in La Crosse?
Well, we've got a good performing arts program. The community theater's done a great job in history. So this is a new venue for them. It's a partnership collaboration with Viterbo. That's exciting. None of the agencies can stick it out on their own. The nonprofits have to work together and collaborate. That was exciting for me when that was announced. It creates an energy in a district. The Arts Board has been looking at creating an arts district in that neighborhood, and this is an aspect that will add to that.
So what exactly is the arts district? Because we hear that with this new Performing Arts Center, we have this arts district now, where there were already pretty strong arts organizations or arts-related organizations down there already with the Pump House. I guess you could say that some of the restaurants or even wine guys could play into that. But what is the arts district?
You could add the La Crosse Convention Center to that as well. So there's a lot of venue, a lot of arts. There's restaurants. It's an area that isn't been specifically yet defined, but would include the Riverfront Park, would include the Grand River Station and the arts apartments that are located there. It is part of the City Vision 2020 plan, and the Arts Board has said if we can do something that we were going to do anyway differently each year, and then one thing that we weren't going to do, in 2020 we can have an arts district.
So do you think that having this arts district, more people will come and actually, you know, take in the arts within La Crosse, Michelle?
I believe they will, definitely. I think that as you increase the density of art-related functions taking place, as well as more galleries in the downtown district, I think people will identify La Crosse more so as an arts community. I think we are already being identified as one with past efforts made, but I think this will further draw people to our community.
Does it just make it easier for people, or?
There's a term within economic development, within the arts development, called creative placemaking. And it's saying, yes, we need the facilities, but it should be more. It's taking things outside. It's creating a neighborhood, and what's in a neighborhood? People on the streets. There's a vibrancy. There might be performances in street art. And if we think of the Pearl Street in Boulder, Colorado, there's a performing artist outside. It looks like serendipity. It's not. It's organized, but will no one have been successful in creating an arts district when people don't go there just to do an activity, but they go there to see what's going on? And that's the part that we really have to get to and use, I think, as an example of placemaking and use that in neighborhoods of different kind. Downtown could have not just the arts district, but lots of neighborhoods. Our neighborhoods can define themselves differently, and the arts can be a big part of that.
Can you talk about that more, how arts could play a role? Because, I mean, this is a city effort. There's a neighborhood revitalization committee that's meeting. You know, there's a lot of talk about revitalizing the Paul Hood Hamilton neighborhood, the Washburn neighborhood. I mean, do you look as arts as playing a role in working with these communities?
Absolutely. We've got a speaker coming to town in March, Vicki Markison. Will be gathering a lot of people that are working on the new comprehensive plan for the city of La Crosse. It's time to update that. The neighborhood development, the development of the arts district. Just like theaters have to collaborate, people and groups have to collaborate. And there's opportunities to use the arts. We can talk about some examples later, but open streets where people come out of their houses and they work in the streets and they do art and creative activities. They define themselves. There can be each neighborhood, think of New York, the mosaic of neighborhoods that they have. And you know when you're in a place. And it turns out that we like to go to places. We like to feel something unique about going to a space. And so the conversation is, how do you create a creative space? It has arts, it has cultural attractions, but it has the things, again, that people find interesting to do, not just to see.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guests today are Don Smith, he's the chair of the City of La Crosse's Arts Board and president of the Pump House, and Michelle Petersley. She's also on the City of La Crosse's Arts Board and president of Cheddarheads. She owns and operates many businesses on Pearl Street. Michelle, when you look at your businesses and maybe other businesses downtown that may not be in the quote-unquote arts district, but you're right on the edge of it. I don't know if there's any defined lines. But what sort of impact will this arts district have on the other businesses downtown?
To begin with, I think Pearl Street will be included as part of the arts district. There's numerous galleries on Pearl Street currently, and it's kind of the bullseye of overlapping districts within the downtown. As one example, to touch on what Don said previously, being that the community center is going to be a collaborative effort and Viterbo is involved, I think that's really a good step forward. I think a lot of universities now tend to become villages on their own. You know, there's restaurants, everything going on right on campus. So oftentimes students don't have a real need to even leave if they really don't care to. And I think as we start to integrate more university life into our downtown, that is going to be a real vibrant asset for the downtown, not just for when performances and whatnot are occurring, but say students are, you know, going from Viterbo down to the center to do rehearsals or whatnot. You know, if they stop by and buy an ice cream cone from us on Pearl Street, that helps us a lot. So it all, you know, it's going to be one step after another. And I think the businesses that are currently within the downtown will be a great addition to offering a great night out. If people are going to go to the theater, we have so many downtown businesses that offer outdoor seating now, and just the riverfront, the river walk is so beautiful that, you know, people could couple going to see a performance with spending more time downtown.
Do you see other changes coming because of this new arts district?
Again, I think the point is to make progress so that we have an arts district as we begin to define it by 2020. There's poetry in the sidewalks down there. There's dance steps just to add novelty to the space. There's an intrinsic value to the arts, and we know that, the economic development. We know that there's the 107 full-time jobs, the 300,000 that's collected in taxes that goes to the state and local, the money that each person spends, as Michelle says. But it's also the arts are what define us. The point is that the arts are economically viable. They add to us as people. They define us. They can define our neighborhoods differently. But think about the people they attract, the people that want to work in the creative industry, the people who want to just come here. People in the arts have a choice about where they want to live. They didn't get educated just for a job, so they can run their computer business out of La Crosse. They can host a website out of La Crosse. They can do that in our region. There's got to be a reason that makes them come to our town that distinguishes it from other opportunities.
Do you see this as being maybe a tourist destination? This week when they unveiled the new name of the Weber Center for the Performing Arts, there was a lot of talk that,
you know, people from out of town could easily come here because you have hotels within walking distance, restaurants. You might have to just park your car once the entire weekend. Is that something that you all see as being a benefit?
Definitely. I think La Crosse already has become and will more so be as a result of increasing our arts district and being a more visual presence of arts and artists on the street. So definitely, I think La Crosse has a lot to offer, probably more so than some of the bigger cities because what we have is more concentrated together.
And you don't have to pay a bundle of money for transportation or parking or anything like that.
True.
Well, in fact, it's interesting, parking, when the theater was first discussed in concept several years ago, there was a notion, well, maybe it'd be connected by ramp or overhead to the parking ramp. People resisted that. We've made a lot of good decisions in La Crosse. We haven't necessarily made them with a single plan in mind. But the fact is that those things are wonderful, but they keep people off the streets. And what do we want to do? We want to deliver people to the streets. We want them to come out the door and go to the restaurant, stay in the downtown, not get back to the car real easily and drive out of the community. It's a way to define ourselves, as Michelle said. You don't have to look much further than Winona. Their Shakespeare Festival, a wonderful thing. Their Beethoven Festival, a wonderful thing. Communities, Nashville, we know how it's defined itself. L.A., we know how it's defined itself. There may be something about which we can coalesce and define ourselves within a culture or an artistic that helps us market and draw people to our community.
Don, you touched on this a little bit, but there was a study that was released earlier this year by Americans for the Arts. They looked at a number of cities across the U.S., including a handful in Wisconsin, and they found that the arts brought in $9.4 million to the city of La Crosse alone, and that took into account the money that arts and culture organizations and also that the audiences were spending.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I first saw this, I was not surprised, but I don't know what the word is, maybe just happy to see that the arts indeed were playing a very healthy role in the community. I mean, was this surprising to you? And do you see these numbers even rising now with all these new developments?
Oh, absolutely. They'll rise. Again, those 11 organizations had 107 full-time people. Across the country, there's over 4 million jobs in the creative industry. 3% of the workforce are designers and dancers and musicians, writers. So it's a big part of a community. Again, people who can locate any place. I can remember what got me engaged some years ago was my assistant's daughter was part of a group, and they were always on the street, and they were doing Shakespeare in the parking lot, and there were four or five people that started storefront galleries. They're all gone. One's in Spain, one's in Chicago, one's in L.A., one's in Brooklyn. They're not here. Why aren't they here? Because we didn't have a community that was receptive and open and encouraging, that purchased enough arts that supported these kids to stay here. I don't think every kid should stay here. They ought to leave and come back maybe. But the fact is these kids are all gone. And I said, wow, we got to do something that changes that, that makes it possible for artists to earn a living here, to sell their art here. So as soon as we get a piece in place, another piece falls and there's other activities and it builds and more people come to town and more galleries open and more people come here to buy art. So absolutely, this is a building thing. We're rich now, but we're going to be more wealthy than we are today in terms of the arts and cultural activity.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. My guests today are Michelle Petersley. She is on the City of La Crosse's Arts Board, president of Cheddarheads, and owns and operates businesses on Pearl Street. And Don Smith, he's the chair of the City of La Crosse's Arts Board and president of the Pump House Board. With the new arts district, do you think it could change the mindset? Because as I think, Don, you were saying before, and Michelle, you sort of touched on, you know, there is a core group of people who do go to theater, who do go see local music when it's playing, who may pop in a gallery here and there. But there is a large portion of the community that doesn't and doesn't really see the value of buying a ticket or paying to see a show. Do you think that mindset could change over time? And what can it take? I'm sure that's a million-dollar question, but what does it take to get more people to consume the arts?
Part of that's the creative notion of creative placemaking. Getting what we've thought of as just going to a destination and taking that to the streets. The Arts Board is looking and applying for a National Endowment to the Arts grants for a large trempe l'oeil mural.
What's that?
A trempe l'oeil is French for to fool the eye. And we may have seen one of these murals in cities, but sometimes they're disguised on a blank end of a building as if the building looked just like the front.
Sure.
Sometimes they're whimsical. We've identified an artist. He's done some lecturing in town that this would be an interactive activity, things that would draw people to see it, seeing maybe we could make that actual mural interactive. The efforts of downtown Main Street to have performances in the park, the work that's begun in terms of repurposing Riverside Park and redeveloping that park as a place to be, to gather. It's about creating intersections and places that people go and linger. It's about having enough bike racks. It's about having enough other things to do. There's a group that works around the world called Project for Public Spaces. It's a nonprofit, and it says in any area that you want to create a place, you need 10 things to do. And in those 10 places, that you need 10 little activities. And it can be watching the river. It isn't all necessarily active. It can be a space to read a book. But you have to have benches, and you have to be oriented right, and you have to pay attention to the sun. And then you have to have the serendipity, the street performers, the stuff that you didn't expect to create this energy, this vibrancy, to create a crucible that's crossed cultures, it's crossed economies or economic circumstance. So you don't have to be able to afford a $7 glass of wine to be down in the space. It's maybe street vendors. It's you create a place of energy around these destination locations. The same thing I think we're discussing on the Arts Board about doing it in neighborhoods. How do you take the same thing to create a place, this mosaic of different neighborhoods that could be a community? That's, I think, ultimately how we revitalize the city of La Crosse.
Michelle?
I think La Crosse has a lot to offer, and we're kind of in the infancy in terms of marketing that. If people really realized how many musicians and artists were in this community, I think they'd be astounded. There's just a wealth of talent that is here, and the Arts Board is going to make an effort to try to create like a way to market that as a whole to other communities as well. One example, even having the music program that was produced by Rotary and Riverside Park over last summer, we attended a performance and were just in awe at how lucky we were to be able to stand outside in such a beautiful environment and enjoy such high-quality music for free.
Yeah.
So where do you get that?
Right. And I'm wondering, too, with everything going on, maybe would that attract more, you know, more well-known popular artists to the La Crosse area? You know, we'll have more of a wide range of venues. It's not just the Popcorn Tavern or the La Crosse Center. We'll have more mid-sized venues. And then in turn, when you get more popular artists and people going out, do they then start seeing the local musicians or the local theater productions?
Well, we've got some pretty amazing artists that perform here. We certainly know Bill Miller, who we've contributed to Nashville, but John Smith is just performing sold out at the Pump House.
I think he sells out every time.
Sells out every time. And so we do have and bring to the community well-known acts. It occurs to me, though, that we make sure that we think of writers, the creative people that are directors, dancers. It is not just a visual and performing art. It's a broad kind of thing that we ultimately look at. Those are the people that are the talented people. How many computer programmers that we know, people writing code, who are also musicians? Do people have a chance? Going back to the community theater that'll be in the Weber Theater, this is the opportunity to have people who are from the community perform. It's that connection of people having an opportunity to do something themselves. That's what neighborhood development is. That's what the open streets is. People get to do things themselves. So it's we shouldn't look, I think, to just the talent we bring in outside, the big shows, the big bang. This is really something that'll get built up from the bottom if we're ultimately successful. Anybody can take a theater, the La Crosse Center, and bring in the biggest talent and fill that up. And then everybody goes home. And it's a good night, and it's good economic development. But is it the enrichment that's going to bring people to live and to work in our community?
And Michelle, do you think that this movement could in turn produce more artists, more writers, more performers in La Crosse?
Definitely. To begin with, nothing goes without change. Things are either going down or they're going up. And so with this collaborative effort, we're on our way up. And as things start to kind of snowball and become bigger and bigger, it'll attract more and more people. And so it's nice to see the collaborative effort. I think that's kind of what it takes to make it happen. I think downtown Main Street really started to grow when more and more people got on board, got in line with the same vision, and put in the same energy and effort to make things happen. And the same thing is already starting to happen in La Crosse. The community theater is just like the beginning, and I think it's just going to bring more and more.
I guess we should probably mention a couple other things going on. The Cavalier Lounge will be expanding its theater. It bought out the former La Crosse Community Theater, and I know the owner, Jason LaCourse, he's sort of mulling over ideas as to what he's going to do with it, but that's expected to be open by March or April. And also, of course, the Hollywood Theater is expected to open this summer. Phil Addis and his wife are also kind of figuring out what exactly they're going to be doing. But just with these openings, I mean, this seems like a really important moment in time for the arts.
Think about film. We, as an art form, we haven't talked about it. There's young film people that are in town and doing some things, and you can do it with less sophisticated, less expensive production equipment than you used to be able to do. Some of that could show at the Hollywood. It wouldn't have to necessarily be first runs. The Pump House has a film society that looks at films that aren't otherwise from around the world, that aren't otherwise available to us in theater format. We have the Film Commission of Western Wisconsin, which is four of us when the state was going to plunge more money into making the state more friendly for film production. And we're ready and actually out marketing La Crosse as a location, a site for film. That's more opportunity and kind of an exciting thing to think about. We've got a great setting, as Michelle said, this wonderful river. No reason that can't have a movie set in La Crosse.
Don Smith is president of the City of La Crosse's Arts Board and the Pump House Regional Arts Center. He was joined by fellow Arts Board member Michelle Petersley, who is president of Cheddarheads and owns several businesses along Pearl Street in downtown La Crosse. I talked with them about the opening of the Weber Center for the Performing Arts and the city's growing downtown arts district. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.